Lee Ernst.
Mark Metcalf.
Mark Metcalf. Thanks for coming to talk to me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You were an actor, one of the lead actors at the Milwaukee Repertory Company, and have been for?
This is year 20 for me.
20?
20 years. I hate to date myself, but somebody's got to do it.
That's okay. We'll go back and we'll find out where you were, because you were here in Wisconsin before that for a good number of years.
Yeah, I also put in nearly 20 years in American Players Theater in Spring Green.
Right. So you and now you've really dated yourself.
I really have. The math doesn't add up, by the way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because you look like you're only 22.
Thank you for that. That's why we like radio.
Exactly.
Podcast.
Or podcast, whatever this is. So who are you this week?
This week I am an unemployed actor, which doesn't mean I'm not working. It means I'm not working at the Rep for a month.
Okay.
Actually, no more this season. The closing of Clybourne Park 2 weeks ago was the end of my contract there, but Clybourne Park is a co-production with Arizona Theater Company.
Right.
So on March 26th, we'll fly down there and spend approximately 7 weeks in Tucson and Phoenix.
In Phoenix. So how many weeks in Tucson?
Mostly the month of April.
Okay.
And then on the turn, we will head to Phoenix and then run about 2.5 weeks there.
Great.
Yeah.
It'll still be nice to get out of here because it'll still be cold and damp here.
That's right.
When you get down to
Still maybe shoveling to be done.
Yeah, I can afford it. Leave that to somebody
else. And the scorpions apparently will still be stinging down in Tucson.
Oh, do they sting through the winter?
One of the brewers, I believe, got stung by a scorpion yesterday in practice in spring training. So we have an arachnophobe in the cast, and so everything, including scorpions, are terrifying to him. So hopefully they'll clear out.
But their season is done by that time.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah,
is that true?
Either.
I trust you.
I don't know. My son would know, but I don't. So you were in Clybourne Park. So you're no longer, not employed at the Rep.
That's right.
I see you on television as Vince Lombardi every once in a while.
Right, I think they may be through running that campaign, but I'm not sure. Yeah, that was a playoff Super Bowl commercial for our local CBS affiliate, Channel 58. They asked me to resurrect Vince from the production of the show by Eric Simonson.
And I've got to tell you, when I was watching some of the football and saw that come on, I thought, wow, where'd they get this footage of Vince Lombardi? That's amazing.
I love that you said that. A number of people have said that.
Well, yeah,
really,
and I know
good.
You pretty well, and it took me a while to figure, oh, no, that's Lee, because it really, there's a physical transformation.
I had some help, you know, glasses and hat and makeup and padding.
Prosthetic teeth, too?
Prosthetic teeth as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary Quinn. I'm going to go ahead and plug her.
Sure.
Mary Quinn is the dentist who arranged those teeth for me, and she was a wonderful collaborator and just a great person.
So, yeah. And those have to be just right, because I've spoken through them on television shows, sometimes it helps find a voice.
That's true.
Speaking around.
It certainly helps me with Vince.
Yeah. You did Vince here and Lombardi when they did Lombardi here, and now you're doing it.
I did those commercials for that Super Bowl campaign, and then they had their annual managers meeting, which they call MAST meetings, and they asked me to come in and do the opening motivational speech.
Oh, yeah.
And so that turned out to be about 15, 20 minutes on camera that we shot a couple of days ago.
Oh, great.
And then they played that opening for their meeting yesterday, and then they called me last night and said, it went over really well. Can you come in and read the closing remarks live?
Do it live.
And do some photo ops. And I was like, oh, man, okay.
They're paying American money, right?
Yes. Okay, and they're very nice people, and everybody had a good time.
Why not? Yeah, I'll bet. So your season's closed with the Rep. The Rep season isn't closed.
That's correct. Raisin in the Sun is about to open.
Right.
The Johnny Cash show, Ring of Fire, is currently playing in the Stackner Cabaret.
In the Stackner, right.
And, oh, man, I think our Steinke season is done.
Yeah.
And the Rep interns are now, they did their show that just ran last weekend. And then they will head down to Chicago and do their showcase. That's their exit.
Are you contracted with the Rep, not for the entire season, obviously, just play-by-play?
Play-by-play, yeah.
Okay.
So I never know what's up.
Well, I was thinking as I came in that your experience as an actor is not reflective of the experience of probably 98% of the actors who are out of work much more than they're, and don't know when the next job is coming or where it's coming from for a long time. Because you have been at the rep for 20 years, mm-hmm. and you were at APT for...
I think, all told, about 17 seasons, although I worked additional jobs with them in other seasons.
But that feeling of not knowing what your next job is not one that you're necessarily familiar with. I mean, I'm sure the anxiety is there.
Sure,
because
we never know. Because we're actors. Yeah,
that's right. But you're not as familiar with it as some people.
You're right, and that's I think that's part of the risk reward trade off that goes on when one aligns oneself with a resident company or something of that nature. Like APT has a core company of actors.
Right.
The rep had a resident company model, but they switched that this year to something that now designates us as associate artists. And instead of a handful of actors who kind of drive the machine a little bit, because Joe used to choose the plays around those actors and try to maintain continuous employment whenever possible, Mark is more driven by play selection, and he wants more flexibility, I think.
Right.
And he has expanded the ranks. So instead of, I think we were at 8 or 9 before this happened. And
eight or nine in the core company.
Yeah,
right.
Those were actors.
Right.
And now we have 9 actors, not all the same, some from the outside, and also designers and composers and directors and other folks who are augmenting this entity, associate artist
group.
Right.
Is the new philosophy then bring more people in from outside than you're used to?
I think we probably will see more of that.
Right.
Yeah, and we have.
Right.
Yeah.
20 years here, 17 years at APT. Are you born and raised Wisconsin?
I was born in central Wisconsin, a town called Marshfield, home of the Marshfield Clinic. I gained a lot of experience there, starting with, when I was 5, and I was in my first play.
You started out in the theater when you were 5?
I did my first play when I was 5.
Okay.
It was a community production of a melodrama. So I was a little cowboy.
Yeah, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Good. That's what I felt like I was all the time in real life when I was 5, 6, 7, 8 in Missouri, growing up in Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
I had a hat, and I have a picture of myself that somebody sent me with my little cap gun in my holster and my chaps and everything.
There you go.
Every day.
I mean, like Montgomery Ward's catalog would come out and you flip to the costume section and go,
exactly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cowboy.
Did you have lines at 5?
I have one line. I stuttered, yes, sir. That was my line.
Cool.
When Black Bart told me to get out from under the table. That was my debut.
Did you know right away that that's what you wanted to do?
No, it was a horrible experience for me. It was... the only thing I really liked about it was that I got to wear cowboy boots for the first time.
Okay.
And I thought I would actually get to keep them.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, so that was a depressing fact. And then during rehearsal, this took place during the summer, and our director smoked heavily and put her cigarettes out in pop bottles. I was not a kid who grew up with pop in the house, soda pop, you know. And there was a machine. Everybody would go to the machine. And I did once in a while when I had a couple of nickels or whatever, but one day it was really hot. We had just appeared in a parade marching as cowboys in this parade, and then we got back for a rehearsal and I saw this Pepsi bottle and I slugged it down. It was an ashtray.
It was one of the ones she'd use as an ashtray.
So that was bad. And then the other thing I really remember was on opening night, the curtain was closed on our proscenium stage, and I remember hearing the buzz of the audience, and I didn't know what that sound was. And so I kept following it, and I got closer, and I found the cut in the curtain, and I stuck my head out, and I just stared at all the people, wondering what the heck they were doing here.
Did you get a laugh?
Yeah, there was a response from the crowd, and then I immediately got yanked back by the collar by a stage manager or somebody.
Right? Yeah. I guess if there'd been a scout out there, then they would have known right then.
I would have. We would have. Made quite an impression. It was funny, I'm sure.
So did you do it in high school, too?
Yeah. I got wrangled into an audition when I was in sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
And then I started doing plays on a regular basis, developed a real friendship with the director and a lot of the students. And
did you have a good teacher like that? Would you call him a mentor? Or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, he taught for 50 years. He just retired.
Yeah.
2 years ago, at the age of 80. He was Daniel Travanti's roommate in college in Madison.
Sure.
He was an actor. He was really in the know and really aggressive and really had high standards.
Right. So what was his name?
Jack Bittrick.
Bittrick.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he trained a lot of people who were in the Milwaukee scene, actually.
Yeah. Did he train them? You mean they went through that school in Marshalltown? Or?
In Marshfield, yeah. Marshfield, sorry. Okay, no problem. Yeah, like Jim Tassi and Brianna Fahey and Judy Burdan and okay. You know, just a great number of people who are fixtures or were in the Milwaukee theaters, right. And various theaters.
Okay.
And cool. They were students of Jack's first. Right. And then we graduated, and many of us went to the university there. They have a 2-year campus. And,
yeah.
And they
and had that's what you did, too?
I did.
Yeah.
They had a hell of a theater program there. So
yeah.
We did a slew of plays.
Right. But mostly just, it sounds like you were doing plays as fast as you could, as many as you could, rather than sort of doing lots of acting classes and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, we had some of that, but we did do a lot of plays.
So you went to, what's that school called, the 2-year school? Is it still there?
It is, yeah. It's it primarily as a nursing school, but
okay.
They also had theater program and
right.
A number of other
right.
things. And it's the University of Wisconsin Marshfield Wood County campus.
Okay. It's a community college, as it were?
Yeah.
Did you then go on and transfer to another school?
Yeah, I transferred to Milwaukee, to UWM.
Okay.
And I spent 1 year here, and then I went to North Carolina.
UWM Theater School was quite well known as a training ground. There were a lot of people who went through that, and that group all then picked, the entire teaching staff then picked up and moved to Delaware at one point.
Yeah, that's kind of my story.
Okay.
That year that I was an undergrad here, I had auditioned for the inaugural class.
Oh. Okay.
And I was put on the waiting list. I was
right.
19, and I was like, okay. But my friend who auditioned with me from Marshfield was admitted into the class.
Okay.
And so he and I decided to share an apartment that year. He spent his first year with the program, and I spent my first year as an undergrad on
okay.
the waiting list.
Right.
Waiting. And I got right. tired of waiting.
Did you get tired of waiting? What did you do? Did you go over and stamp your feet and say, I'm tired of waiting, let me
at
in?
One point I did. I actually went in because I did my first show here, and that was Molière's The Miser.
Oh.
And it was fully produced, well-received, apparently. And I remember the faculty saying, oh, you really maybe have something. And I said, let me in, Ben. Let me join the class. I know all these guys anyway. It's only been a couple of months. Can't I get in? And they're like, can't do it, but I promise next time around you can come in. And that would be another 3 years.
Oh, well.
They do it in cycles.
Right,
like that.
Sure.
So I did the league auditions in Chicago.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember getting hit by a car on my way. I took the train down. I got off the train, walked into the streets of Chicago, my very first time.
In Chicago.
Yeah. And there was this bustle of people, and I somehow found myself at the front of it. And they all stopped when the light changed. I didn't. And I walked right into a big red Cadillac, which knocked me back into the crowd. And then I had my first audition 15 minutes after that. It wasn't all in all a bad day. I ended up getting a scholarship in North Carolina.
Oh, okay, good. Who is it? I think it's Nureyev used to, they say, used to slam his fist into a wall before he'd go on just to sort of blow all that fear out of him and focus everything on the pain in his hand, and it would just focus him.
Yeah. I mean, that's the worst thing, going into a performance, isn't it? Being unfocused.
Unfocused and over here and thinking about, all kinds of things.
So that Cadillac brought me home.
Maybe that Cadillac centered you. So North Carolina at the, what school?
That's Winston-Salem.
Winston-Salem, okay,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, they have a pretty good school.
They do. I stayed 1 year, and
it's hard to keep you somewhere but until you get back here.
Apparently so. I really am Midwest centric, I guess.
Yeah.
I really feel like I belong here, you know.
Well, this has been a great town for you theater wise, and I've always been just racked by envy for the fact that you've gotten to do all the whole, Willie Loman a couple of years ago, you do Tartuffe, you do Moliere, you do Ibsen, you get to do, and Shakespeare.
We've had some
you get
great,
to do all the classics, all the stuff that I was raised on.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to New York, or you go to L.A., and you end up doing a hotel or some kind of television show like that, and not do the classics. And it's great to sort of live inside that literature. So.
Yeah. It is, and we were talking before about anxiety about, you know, not having the job.
Right.
Anxiety, and that hasn't because I've resided with companies for most of my career, I haven't had that same level of anxiety to deal with. But on the other hand, I also have, in limiting my scope, I've limited my scope.
Right. Well, there is that. I mean, and there is, I guess, in all of us that step out on the stage, that sort of desire to have more people see us.
Yeah, there's that, and also just to work with other people.
And to work with,
you know,
well, that was one of the things. I always think that regional theater is a great place to work because the cost of real estate is less than it is in New York, so you can actually take more chances as an actor or mm-hmm. a director, an artistic director. You can actually stretch the envelope a little bit more than you can in New York if you've got to put fannies in the seats at $100 a ticket, and here you only have to put fannies in the seats for 20 to 50. I don't know what tickets are at the rep now.
Yeah, but somewhere in there. Yeah.
So you can actually, you can dare a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that that's true?
I think it probably is for the producers. I just talked to a friend of mine who premiered a show in Ashland, Oregon, and he was a huge hit, hit, and he just found out that show was going to Broadway, going to New York.
Oh, great.
And they're not taking any of them. The show was, and my wife saw it, I know Mark Clement saw it, and everybody had nothing but raves for it.
Right,
and
but of course,
the producers will not take that chance on names they can't
connect put money in the seats with, right? With,
yeah,
with the people.
So
who
that's the downside of it, I think.
Yeah, but you know, in many ways, having been in New York and not been involved in anything like that, you're better off, I think, being away from that and not being part of that marketplace kind of sensibility, because that just doesn't make any sense to take the production but remove the actors who are the production. I mean, that's too bad. But that's the Broadway. That's the real estate talking.
That's right. Yeah,
they've got to pay. They got to get fannies in the seats at $100 or $200.
That is for-profit theater.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the difference is, not working for non-profit theater, mm-hmm. not-for-profit theater. Well, now, what do you do in the summer if your season ends here with Claiborne Park? Do you still job in at APT every once in a while?
I haven't done that in a few years. I went back a couple of seasons and did the Christopher Plummer vehicle, Barrymore. I mm-hmm. got to play that, which was
fun. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then another year I replaced an actor for a month who they lost on short notice, and so I was able to go back and just, you know, be part of the ranks for a bit. I haven't been back since then. I can't even remember when that was. Probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
But that's fine. You know, I spent a lot of really good time there, and I'm very...
When you were there, were you there back when Randy Kim was?
Yeah, I'm kind of an inaugural guy. When people start things, I tend to often be there.
Right. So what are you going to do in the summertime?
In the summer, the last 2 years, well, 2 years ago, I did a directing gig. I got contacted by Texas Shakespeare Festival.
And okay.
They needed a director.
Where is
for
Texas
Hamlet.
Shakespeare?
This one, I think there are more than one.
Well, I worked last year at the Houston Shakespeare, which is in Houston.
Oh yeah, okay.
But where's
now,
Texas?
Oh, that's right. Were you in Steve Pickering's Hamlet?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
I directed Hamlet at Kilgore, where they've had it was their 26th season.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. So
is Kilgore West Texas?
Kilgore is East Texas.
East Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. So over there,
about
so
70
we were dueling
miles from
Hamlets
Shreveport.
In a way.
Kind of. This was last year for you and the year before
year
for
before.
Me.
Okay.
So
right.
Yeah. So I did that, and then also Greg Winkler asked me to come up and do a season with them at Peninsula Players.
Okay.
In
Door
Fish
County.
Creek. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was really happy to go up, and I got to play the Jack Nicholson role in A Few Good Men, which was
cool.
Fun. You get to say that. Those wonderful words.
Right.
It's all about the words.
Yeah.
And
that part, I think, is all about getting to that one line. You can't handle the truth. So.
Kind of. Or that's the one to hide under the desk and deliver, you know, because everybody's got it locked in their mind.
Yeah,
But it becomes inevitable out of the speech. It's just really well written.
Yeah.
And, then I did a Ken Ludwig farce called The Fox on the Fairway. And then they had me back last year, and I did a couple more shows with them.
So in your, up till this point, do you have any idea how many plays you may have done? Not counting the melodrama at 5 years old.
Oh, I can't count that.
We'll count that. I
know
add
it's.
That.
I know it's between 250 and 300.
250 and 300. Yeah. Oh, I would guess so. Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
Because now, what's the longest that you've been out of work? Have you ever taken just like I know it's not going to work for 3 months or 4 months?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I've never been solvent enough to say that. I could say it all I want, but right. I can't do it.
Well, that's the downside too, I guess, of not going to New York or L.A. is that they don't pay you quite as much.
That's true. But the trade-off, there's the trade-off for me. I have four kids, and I raised them.
And grandkids now.
And four grandkids. Yeah.
Right.
So I've been able to raise my kids in a stable home environment for 34 years.
Right.
You know? That was worth it. That was an important
thing. Yeah. No, that's an important thing, and I suspect that's a real important thing to your work, too. Because your work, when I watch your work, I think that there's a tremendous amount of humanity and generosity and goodness in all the characters. I mean, what we all think of as goodness in the creation of all the characters that you do. And I don't know I don't know what dark snakes you have lurking inside your soul.
I'm sure some of them have reared their ugly heads.
You know how to access them and use them. But if you... That may not have been possible if you'd been, hoofing it in New York and out of work for 6 months and whatever. I mean...
I definitely would have been a different person, I think. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on being the person you are.
Thank you.
And on thanks for all the great work that you've brought to Milwaukee audiences.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it. And it's nice to know you, Mark. You're a great guy.
It's nice to have been known. Thanks, Lee.
You bet.